Welcome to IoT Real Talk. No fluff, no filler, just real pros talking about real programs, real challenges, and real results.
IoT at the edge is evolving, and 5G is leading the way. From retail and construction to industrial IoT, a wireless-first mindset is freeing businesses from the limits of fiber and redefining what's possible for connected operations. In this episode of IoT Real Talk, we are joined by Mike Saxby, VP of Sales for a managed service provider, Blue Heron Systems. And we will dig into how fixed wireless access is scaling enterprise IoT, why managed 5G keeps IoT data flowing securely, and what's really behind the move from fiber first to wireless ready. Hey everyone, good to be back on the set for episode 8. I'm Susanna Song.
And I'm John Connett.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? It's been a minute.
Seriously, we had several CSP partners on the last episode, and today we've got the privilege of talking to an MSP here on the pod. So,
amazing. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, glad to be here. Nice to be on the call.
Yeah, for those who aren't familiar with Blue Heron, can you just give us a quick overview of what your team does and where you play in the world of managed connectivity?
Yeah, absolutely. So Blue Heron, we technically have sort of three silos to our system. One is that we're talking about here, but we do a lot of work in the data center space. So, you know, we're a partner with Dell, NVIDIA, Supermicro, et cetera. We also have a trusted advisor practice, but the core of our conversation today is around our network as a service or managed connectivity practice. And that's where we support organizations with basically the entire life cycle of managing their network. So that can be anything from, you know, managing the equipment, which we're agnostic with, staging it, kitting it, configuring it, shipping equipment out, rolling a truck for setup at a location, managing the devices, doing proactive management. So NOC support, help desk support, device collection, device replacement. So giving an organization to go, we want to sort of outsource the management of our network. And for a lot of our customers, we're seeing them take a 5G approach.
Yeah, so many enterprises have relied on fiber for years. So what's changed to make fixed wireless access just as reliable and in some cases the better choice for IoT deployments?
Yeah, probably the biggest change is really just the upgrade and the quality of the 5G networks now. I mean, you can, you know, look at any quarterly report of a large wireless carrier and look at the investment that they're putting into their wireless networks. And you can look at some aspects of their wireline networks where they're actually turning down specific services. So the quality of the networks have improved considerably. The number of towers have improved. The coverage, especially here in the United States, has really improved. And then, you know, you're getting all of the benefits of not having to like physically install. I mean, even if you're, whether it's fiber or even coax service with like a cable co, there's still considerable installation that can happen. And so we're not suggesting that wireless is the answer for everything. Obviously, if you're managing connectivity within a data center or a large headquarters, not necessarily the best approach. But for so many locations today, wireless is frankly better, faster, cheaper, is really what it comes down to.
Is it fair to say, Mike, that wireless is becoming cost competitive with wireline in many, maybe not all, but in many use cases and circumstances?
Yeah, I would say cost competitive is an understatement. I mean, you take, you know, say, you know, somebody in the construction or retail, you know, location, like pick one of those locations and say right now they've got a coax circuit from a cable co that might be $150 or $200 a month. They have a backup circuit. Maybe that's, you know, $100. So, you know, let's say they're spending around $300 just for the network connectivity. In the world of wireless, that network connectivity is $60 a month. So I would say cost competitive is an understatement. You can have a dual wireless carrier setup where you're paying $60 for connectivity at a location with true all unlimited, like no data caps, all unlimited plans. You have better availability. better uptime. And so here you are sitting there going, I have a better solution. It doesn't have to be installed. I can turn up a location in 24 hours or less. And I'm getting better performance at a significant reduction in cost. So I would say in many cases, from a cost side, it's a significant reduction in cost.
That's pretty amazing. And you mentioned the example of having dual circuits on the wireline. On the equivalent on the fixed wireless side would be basically having two separate carriers. Is that basically the way to think about?
Yeah, two separate carriers. You can leverage technology like SD-WAN, so it's load balancing across those carriers. Some of the equipment that we use today has the ability to do, it used to be called, back in the day when we had modems, it used to be called channel bonding. So you can do things like even take two carriers and use the equipment to bond those two together. And then in, you know, extreme examples, you could even have a third. So we have a lot of organizations right now that are we're working with on low Earth orbit satellites. So think Starlink as a for example, or we're actually a partner with Amazon's new Kuiper service that's about to be launched. So having the ability to look across things like wireless and satellite and create a solution that is, you know, in literally truly redundant, right? Like if you have two wireless carriers and low Earth satellite and it goes down, you've got a much bigger problem to deal with than your
problem, not a
you've got a problem on your hands.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Are there particular verticals or industries? You mentioned construction, but is there a particular segment of the market where you see this being particularly valuable, or where you see a particular high level of adoption?
Yeah, I mean, retail, you know, construction, you've kind of nailed some of those. At the end of the day, it's applicable to almost all verticals. It really just comes down to the requirements at each specific site. And again, kind of the conversation, if this is a large HQ location, you know, having dedicated fiber, or if this is a data center having dedicated fiber, if you need, you know, 100 gigs coming out of your data center, wireless is not your option. But for most companies at a lot of their locations right now, wireless is a better option. So it's really something that we can look at and identify and go, okay, you have 100 locations, 80 or 90 of those locations would absolutely qualify. You'll lower your cost, you'll have better performance. But of course, that doesn't mean that every location goes that direction. So it's not a solution where we believe it's like cram wireless down the throat. It's really looking at the architecture of what a company has and going, where can we go wireless first within your organization?
Got it. So it's so even branch offices are a big factor of the business, it sounds like.
Yeah, we have a customer that has, you know, thousands of branch offices across the United States and Canada, and they very heavily have leaned into wireless first to, again, lower cost and have better performance and greater uptime as well.
Very good.
What IoT devices typically are you connecting over the network?
You know, for a lot of what we're talking about now, we're talking about things like routers. So cradle point routers, peplink routers, et cetera. But we, you know, work with organizations that put sensors on engines or sensors on, you know, heavy equipment rentals. So, you know, it's really sort of across the board, but a lot of the solution that we're talking about today, especially if we're talking about a location where employees are at, we're talking about a router type appliance.
Got it. And those routers, of course, would be connecting anything from laptops to, of course, IoT devices to anything in the office, essentially, or the retail location. So it's kind of a mixed bag is what I'm taking away from it.
Absolutely.
Are we seeing any instances where maybe like a retail location or a retail customer, you know, they're looking to use fixed wireless as a way of maybe segregating like specific parts of their environment or specific devices? Like, for example, I'm a retail establishment and I've got multiple sites and my point of sale systems, and want all my point of sale systems, for security reasons or for whatever, going through fixed wireless versus maybe some other transport that
absolutely.
I might already have at the facility.
Customer Wi-Fi, right? You walk into a place and you buy coffee there and they want to give you a Wi-Fi network so you can work. They might want that traffic completely separate from their main corporate traffic. So your example, spot on, but yes, absolutely. There's definitely customers that have needs to segment their networks.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So I think we get the idea. Like, obviously, this sounds like a huge opportunity in a burgeoning market. So other than obviously the connectivity is, you know, key element here, but I have to imagine, especially if you were Blue Heron, you're providing this service as an MSP, what other capabilities or services are you typically bringing to the table or could you theoretically be bringing to the table, maybe because customers are asking you for it or you see a particular need, that would be very complementary or kind of a natural extension of your service that you're selling to these end customers through fixed wireless?
Yeah, I mean, specifically on the MSP side, you know, kind of the easy way to think about it for a customer is we're the easy button. So, you know, imagine we have customers where, you know, we're either getting information from their ticketing system or we're directly through APIs integrated into their ticketing system. We know all the standards based on the specific type of location. That ticket comes in, that ticket has an address. We already have the data to know, like, for instance, who's managing that location, and we're pulling all the equipment, we're testing all the equipment. You know, if there's a yellow cable, we're making sure there's a yellow sticker where it has to go in case they're doing a self-install and we're not rolling a truck. We're shipping all of that out. We're getting on a phone call, walking through somebody through an installation if it's not a truck roll. We're monitoring the network, right? So, you know, let's say a site is down and we see it, we can proactively do things like turn up the other carrier, or we're leveraging a device that already does that automatically, or we've got satellite as a backup, or maybe it's down because there's a power issue. We see that instantaneously. And rather than waiting for somebody at that location to call us and say, hey, there's a problem, we're down, we're proactively reaching out and going, hey, we see that you have an issue or a problem. You've automatically failed over. We need to get primary backup, or you're offline. Are you having a power issue? And then all of the, you know, collecting those devices at the end of the life cycle. So really kind of the easy button. And in specific verticals, especially this time of year, think retail, imagine pop-up locations, right? So, you know, these new pop-up retail things have really become, you know, sort of a huge fad. So, you know, being able to be like, I need to turn this site up. I need it up for 3 months and I need it back down. I might do another pop-up, or I might do an event somewhere at, like, say, the Waste Management Open, and I need a remote, you know, store at the Waste Management Open. So that equipment's going to come back and be repurposed and reused 3 months later. And then I'd say the other important piece that I didn't touch on earlier, managing and looking at all of the carrier connectivity options. So, you know, we have some really advanced tools that when that location comes in, we can look across all the carriers and go, okay, let's look at wireless first. Great. We have really good options there. We know that there is a T-Mobile tower that is literally down the street. It has 98% capacity right now. So that site could, you know, consume a terabyte of data in a bill cycle, and it's going to be just over wireless and it's going to be just fine. Or we look and go, gosh, none of the wireless carriers will look. We have tools where we can look and say, is there fiber? Is there coax? Do we need to bring wireline into that location? And then if not, we can look at options and go, gosh, is this low Earth orbit? So all of that to me falls in the package of, and I still have one on my desk, I should have brought it, that Staples used to have the easy button. You know, we really look at this of allowing, a large organization, allowing their IT or network team to go, we know all aspects of this is managed.
Got it. Interesting.
I've got to think when you're managing connectivity, the expectation of the customer is that it has to be secure. I mean, they're used to it from just their corporate Wi-Fi. How do you ensure that their 5G and their wireless connectivity.
I mean, is that a problem that you see as something that customers are looking to you to solve?
It is. It's interesting you asked that. We have a customer that came to us and said, they've got, Cisco equipment on, in a rack there. And the problem is if it's all done remote, if IT is managing that remotely, and they go in and make a configuration change and it reboots and it doesn't come back online, how do they get into that, right? Because they're not going to be able to come in through the fiber or the coax if it's unresponsive. So what we did is we developed a solution with Cradlepoint, where Cradlepoint with wireless, those Cradlepoint routers have a serial port in the back. And we were able to connect that serial port directly into that Cisco equipment. And then we were able to create a pathway and a process where the IT and security team could open up a secure tunnel that would go over wireless. So a port that was closed would open. They'd go over the wireless network. That device was directly connected to the Cisco equipment. They could get in, make all the configuration changes, reboot it. So then it showed back up on the network, and then we could immediately close that. So, I would put security in the topic of, yes, you have to do it. It's critical. It's important. There are some companies that want to manage it on their own. We like to look at it as a partnership of, what are the requirements? Because, different sites, different locations, different data have different security requirements. And how do we, use applications, equipment, and even in some cases, custom solutions to bring in what would be that full security package?
Fascinating. Got it. And so what, obviously this sounds like, huge and growing market, I guess. What are the risks or the barriers that you see that maybe a lot of new customers or new market entrants where you see stumbles in adopting this technology and approach?
I'd say from a risk perspective, it's very low risk. I mean, we even have organizations that haven't done this before and come to us and we're like, well, let's take the risk out of it. Let's pick three locations. Let's ship some equipment out there. Let it sit on site wireless. Let it churn. We'll run automated process where it basically sits for a couple of days and run speed test. And let's take the data from your wired network and your wireless network. And let's just give you raw data and let the data make the decision. So from a risk perspective, there isn't a lot of risk because you can do this through a true data-driven decision. Probably the biggest challenge is perception. So I would say in general, there's this perception that this is not as good of an option. So we love going through that data-driven approach because that's where you get a decision maker, a CIO, a VP of IT to look at it and go, well, gosh, this is better. And then you show them the cost and they're like, oh, and then you go, well, there's no contract. And they're like, wait a second, I don't have to get into a 36-month agreement to have connectivity at my locations. So that data will drive it. But the biggest challenge is just the perception that wireless is not a good option. And I just think that this is just an evolutional process of networks, et cetera. We've all had a ton of experience with mobile devices, sometimes connectivity on them. But sometimes you have good connectivity, other times you don't. But the enterprise-grade equipment and the build-out of the networks has really gotten to a point that all we really have to do is change perception. So that's, frankly, the biggest obstacle is the perception.
Interesting. And final question from my perspective, but so, obviously, looking here in the U.S., you've got a couple different options of providers, connectivity providers, that is, carriers. Is there one that's kind of leading the charge or doing better than the others in terms of really embracing this market? Or are they all kind of equal footing, or is that not even kind of is it gotten to the point of commoditization where really the underlying provider doesn't matter?
We have a lot of data points. And so we do see in many instances that T-Mobile's data network is just blazingly fast. And so, I would say it is very location dependent. So you know, there are going to be areas of the country where Verizon shines or AT&T shines. I mean, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. This has for many years been, you know, a Verizon market. But T-Mobile has built out their network here pretty considerably. And in some cases, T-Mobile performs better than Verizon. But when you look across all the aggregate customer data that we have, I would say, you know, on average, T-Mobile's data network performs at a, you know, what I would put as remarkable and spectacular level. Yeah.
Interesting. Wow. Very good.
Yeah. My last question for you, Mike, as we kind of sum up this episode and think ahead and look ahead, if you could finish this sentence, in 5 years, every successful IoT program will, how would you complete it?
Ooh, that's a
what's good, next?
That's a good one. What's next? Well, in 5 years, we're probably going to be talking about 6G. And we're going to be talking about AI at the edge and the performance of those networks. I mean, I don't think we really have a fundamental understanding of the probably the game-changing nature of where wireless is going and the amount of data that's going to start to go through wireless networks. But I just think in general, like over the next couple of years, I'll pull it back into the next couple of years. I do think that most organizations are going to recognize and realize that wireless is way more than just a viable option. In a lot of cases, it is the best option, especially as we see some of the legacy parts of the wireline network be decommissioned, right? And so, you know, just like wireless isn't the answer for everything, fiber isn't, frankly, the answer for everything. And so I think we're going to see, you know, environments where there is a mix of understanding the requirements at specific locations and specific and the applications that are running at those locations, like looking at the requirements and going, this is much better suited for wireless. This is much better suited for fiber. It's not going to be there's one specific answer across an entire network, especially for larger organizations with multi-locations that are distributed.
Good answer. Well, thank you so much, Mike Saxby of Blue Heron. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. And don't miss our next episode. We look into IoT and market trends of 2026 as we wrap up this year. We have analyst Stephen Sorrell of Kaleido Intelligence joining us. Until next time, I'm Susanna Song.
And I'm John Connett.
I'm Mike Saxby. Thanks for having me today.
And this has been Real Talk. Thank you.
From all of us at Aeris, thank you for listening to IoT Real Talk. We hope you'll join us again for more real stories from real practitioners shaping the future of IoT. Tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube, or visit aeris.com/IoT podcast.